You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it impacts you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/givetech.
It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Monday, September 29th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. It's been planned for months and banned for years, but today, Microsoft's Xbox One gaming console finally launches in China. Nintendo's Wii, Xboxes, and PlayStations have all been banned in the country since the year 2000. The government says it's concerned about their impact on the country's youth, but some might argue it's about government gaming protectionism. Microsoft surely hopes that the Xbox One launch means big sales. Challenges remain, though, for game makers. New York Times technology columnist Molly Wood has been looking at this for us. Molly, how are you?
I'm great, Ben. How are you?
I'm good. Xbox in China, why has this ban existed?
The ban, has existed, I think, for many of the reasons that video game bans tend to exist, which is mainly concerns about protecting the children, the impact on children and the content in the video games.
It's about China believes the children are our future.
And it's time for them to play Forza Motorsport.
It is interesting. One of the China-only games is apparently like a Tai Chi practice game.
It's going to be very interesting to see what the game library ends up looking like, because Xbox is known for games like Call of Duty. Those games are not going to China, at least not now. They're not in the slate of the 10 games to be sold alongside the console.
Do we have a sense of the impact that this might have for Xbox, the impact it might have on the gaming market in China?
I think all kinds of electronics manufacturers are looking at China with dollar symbols in their eyes. It is a little unclear, though, what is going to happen with the Xbox One in China, because the Chinese market has adapted around it. There are China-made video game consoles. There is a healthy PC gaming community there. They play mobile games. And, you know, the Xbox is coming in at $600. I don't think that pent-up demand alone will necessarily propel the Xbox One to greatness in China.
The new PlayStation remains banned there, but at the same time, PlayStation has been selling better than the Xbox One. Is Microsoft hoping that this will put them back on top, or at least back in the running in that race?
It is absolutely a brief monopoly that I expect Microsoft to take full advantage of. It is a huge leg up.
Is there anything else you think is interesting about this, or that you think we should be watching as this happens?
I am very curious to see what kind of, you know, Microsoft has long portrayed the Xbox as a way to also get content, to get streaming internet content. And so I'm curious to see whether they will continue to pursue that strategy with the Xbox One in China, by maybe cutting licensing deals with Chinese media publishers, or whether they're just going to kind of try to back away from that slowly and keep it focused on gaming.
Molly Wood, our friend and technology columnist at the New York Times. Molly, nice chatting with you as always.
My pleasure, as always.
Algorithms, apps, big data. You've heard these words before, but increasingly they're being used to convince venture capitalists and potential customers that the food industry is next in line for disruption. Tech startups have ideas, and Marketplace's Queena Kim has this report.
In San Francisco, you can see the future of restaurants, or at least the way it's envisioned by techies. And no surprise, the dining experience starts with an app. You didn't bring your lunch and you don't have time to go out? Go to your iPhone, look for your favorite restaurant app, and click on the photo of the meal you want. And while they can't zap it to you, they're working on it.
Ah, here we go, an order.
Caden Berkmoyer is a driver at Sprig, one of the many food tech startups popping up in San Francisco. We're in his car, and in the back seat is a big bag full of assorted boxed lunches.
It just popped up in my app. It has one granola salad. And
here's how Sprig works. When you place an order, an algorithm sends it to the nearest driver.
And we are delivering to Tanya.
Sprig is like a San Francisco-style restaurant, only on wheels. Lunch is $9, and the food is mostly organic, and the meat's hormone-free. The startup won't say if it's profitable, but it's looking to expand into more cities. And Sprig thinks it can use technology to compete in price with big restaurant chains and offer healthier meals.
The challenges are immense.
Kent Bennett is with Bessemer Venture Partners. He says in the past, tech investors have stayed away from food.
Most of the companies we invest in move ones and zeros around, and food tech companies, you're moving heirloom tomatoes around. You know, they start to rot the second they fall off the vine.
And that's money down the drain. But Bennett says, this tech boom, investors are giving food another look.
This is a trillion-dollar market. Like, there's almost no category of software that even begins to approach that number. And there's a lot of pain in the food space, whether it's health and wellness or affordability.
And Bennett says venture capitalists are betting that startups can use mobile computing and big data to take away some of that pain and take on the traditional food companies. In San Francisco, I'm Queenie Kim for Marketplace.
I want to mention that we've got a Marketplace app. You can download it from Apple's App Store or from Google Play. And before we go, all the chatter on Twitter last week was about the new social network called Elo, invite only. And on Friday, there were 35,000 invite requests every hour. Elo claims it's an actual place adults want to hang out, not like the massive digital phone book that is Facebook. So are you using Elo? Old news already? Okay, what about the other social networks that are exclusive? Let us know what you think out in the public square. Tweet us. We're at Marketplace Tech. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
Hey, everyone. It's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.